Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Too many Tic Tacs in the town.
That's crushed.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Where the beat go? Oh, ain't that something? Drums came in, you ain't see that coming. Hands on my head, can't tell me nothing. Got a taste of the fame, it'll pump my stomach. Throw it back up like I don't want it. Wipe my face, clean off my vomit. OCD trying to push my buttons, I said don't touch it. Now y'all done it. I can be critical, never typical. Intricate with every syllable, I'm a criminal. Intimate but never political, pretty miserable.
I'll go Flandia 114. On the Podcast One Sports Network, the premier podcast sports network in the world. And you can listen to Golflandia exclusively on PodcastOneSports.com, the Podcast One app, iTunes Podcasts, Spotify, Casts, Himalaya, whatever. Cassette tape. I asked on Twitter today some of the worst anthem sports songs ever played. For instance, anything Bon Jovi, anything for me at least, Van Halen. Someone mentioned Darude Sandstorm. I can't get behind that one. I had the, speaking of cassette tapes, I had the Darude Sandstorm cassette tape in my 2000 Jeep Wrangler. And I wore that thing out. Was I cool when I was 23? No. Follow me on Twitter at Wiley77 for all these little anecdotes, at Golflandia, or my burner account at corn_nuts_77. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, please. 5 stars. This week is the Shriners in Las Vegas. One factor you're going to have to account for is which players are going to make the most of Las Vegas whilst they're there. And which players are not going to show up with their Sunday best. A good story about a player. I wanted to name him, but I'm not sure. From memory, I think it is, but I don't want to say it is. I think he assumed he was going to miss the cut Friday night. And so he went out and got obliterated in Vegas. Turns out he didn't miss the cut. Saturday. I think he shot it like a 62. We also have the Open d'Espagne in Europe. Last week was the Safeway. Course notes. We should probably recap course notes every week just for the future. Just get a notepad. Get your notes open on your iPhone app. And write down the course notes so you have them in future years. But the course, those greens are extremely tricky for those guys not used to putting on POA. It gets pretty quick out there. Derailed a lot of guys. You really need to hit it far and in the fairway, which explains Steele twice, Grillo, last year Tway, this year Champ. And by the way, Champ, even though you probably weren't on him in any regard, you could not help but root for that story. His dad, that family is pretty special, especially with some of the adversity they had and he had growing up playing golf. But his dad's a pretty special guy. That speech afterwards, he has the right focus and mentality for the success of his son. It was very incredible to hear. Also, Rory last week. By the way, Rory McIlroy has gone from the cellar with me as you've heard in previous podcasts, in terms of his interviews, when he wasn't winning, I thought he hated golf, and he seemed to be pretty condescending. Something was just off in his life, to being a full-out 10 out of 10 interview. Focused, listens well, very thoughtful answers, and he cares. He cares about the fans. He took a lot of photos with them. He gives it, and, I mean, he really wanted to win for his dad this week on the dad theme. And I thought that was pretty cool. His dad shot gross 69, 3 under. Crazy. Dad's a good golfer. Rory critical of the golf course not being a difficult setup. And he said he's getting tired of coming back to the European Tour because of it. That he plays well, really well, and it doesn't reward that good play. I agree. And a lot of, I mean, for me, doesn't give Lynx Golf the challenging nature that I think it should have. That was a terrible sentence. I'm not going to edit it. I'm going to go with that sentence. The challenging nature. I couldn't think of the word. But you think of Lynx Golf and you think of treachery. And a lot of that is, of course, weather-based, and it's, you know, it was wet and cool and no wind. There you go. It's a pitch and putt. But I agree. I mean, some of these European Tour setups, they're crazy easy for these guys. And so anyone can go off and shoot 20 under. Not everyone, but, I mean, you know, he can just run up birdies. But I would say that Rory McIlroy has enough clout on every tour that when he says something of that caliber, that he's getting tired of going on the European Tour because of the easy course setups, shots fired, that's a warning. He may not come back. Just got finished watching the Bengals heaping pile of burning trash. I won't spend any time on the NFL, but This is the franchise that I make fun of every week. Do you see what I mean now? Runs it, the ownership, like a hardware store. That it's the only hardware store in America. In 2019. Frugal, myopic, old. Blech. Just, I mean, can you imagine, and Wilson said it well on Twitter tonight, what the NFL would be without Twitter, these primetime games, or showdowns on DFS. Imagine having just to root for the Who Dey Bengals. What a joke. You're not getting an ounce of my attention. Nothing will change. I mean, it's just, and I want to bang on a league. The NFL's doing fine. There's a lot of fans of it. And I think DFS product is fantastic for it. It keeps me interested. But that's not enjoyable. I feel sorry for the people who actually buy tickets and go to these games. Someone on Twitter, speaking of banging on sports, which I don't do because someone likes these other sports. So don't just hate on them because you're not a part of it. Or you don't get any attention from it, but you want it, want to, and so you just, you know, you hate. You're isolating a large swath of people who may enjoy it. Objectively, the Bengals are pathetic. It's a joke of an organization. Andy Dalton looks like he's going to quit, like much like you made Carson Palmer just leave in his prime. I'm not going on this thread because I'll get hot. This guy. He's a baseball guy. He might have been trolling, which it probably was an excellent troll. But he mentioned flying at 30,000 feet and didn't think he ever noticed what a tremendous waste of space and resources golf courses are. Turn every last one into a free public park. Retrospectively, he's probably trolling. But let's just assume he's not. First of all, you don't see the golf courses from 30,000 feet, I don't think. Or can create an analysis at that point. But this is a, not just him, but this is a commentary even for the people who may not be trolling about this that I've heard a lot. There are 2.2 billion acres of undeveloped land in the United States. Don't hand-wring about golf courses. First of all, are you going to seize private land? If they go to business like the one in Lexington that I used to be a member of, they're just growing it into a park. That's what happens. At least it's nature. At least you can walk through it with your dog. At least it's not, like I said, Tropicana Field with eight people taking up so many resources, made out of concrete, with all of the, you know, public utilities it uses, with all the traffic it ties up in the middle of town. You can't do anything with it. At least kids can golf at golf courses where you can get some activity outdoors. And that's not just, I mean, I figure that's just a troll tweet that we read and I got baited, obviously. But it's a sentiment I've heard before. If golf courses are meant to go to business, they'll go to business. And a lot of them will. I mean, it's just a tough, it's just a very expensive enterprise to keep going in this day and age. But at least they can become parkland without bulldozing it or something. There'll be ideas. Tweet questions. Skeeter Robinson on Twitter, at Skeeter Robinson. Tournament you wish was moved to a different time of year for whatever reason. The Barbasol to November. Why? Because golf in Lexington in July, and I will say that most players who played here would say this was the hottest tournament of the year. It's so hot. It's deathly hot. It's deathly hot for the fans. It's deathly hot for the players, the caddies. This year was bananas. We've had 2 years of tough weather. The previous year, tornadoes, level 5 DEFCON evacuations, and last year, this past year, super hot. Now, I know it's an opposite field event of the British Open. It won't change. But if I had my wish with the organizers, I'm sure it'd be a nice fall event. It'd be so sweet. Fall in Kentucky is wonderful. Adam Daly showed me this tweet, A. Daly Frey. Follow him for all your NHL needs. He quoted a tweet and he said, Wiley77, this tweet, talk about this tweet and how brands are degenerate or brands don't give a fuck. DGIF. I guess Corn Nuts, at Corn Nuts, trying to be pithy and trying to get out there with your name and be different and be edgy. Let's live on the edge. Let's say something crazy. Corn Nuts, the things your kids eat. Where's the craziest place you've nutted, comma, I mean ate Corn Nuts? You're pathetic. It's 2019. You don't think that content probably is not appropriate in 2019? That you're going to get replies from people who don't know any better about where they've nutted on your Corn Nuts thread? You morons. Have some social responsibility in 2019. So why don't my kids ever on social media? I mean, that's what I talked about last week, is that you're going to have to stop. This is your personality as a label. This is who you are and who you're representing. You're not just tweeting out stuff and their words, and I'm going to get these one-liners in. Right now, you're identified as a pig who talks about where you've nutted. It's so basic and stupid. It's not funny. You're a food brand. I just don't know why you have to go over the edge with this stuff. Not that I'm you know, not that I'm being proper about it. It's just dumb. That's who you are. That's who you want us to see you as? I'm never buying corn nuts. But there you go. It's who you want to hang out with. You want to hang out with someone who says that crap? I want to talk. I say some stuff that's pretty odd. But that's what I said last week. I mean, the future of marketing is the branding of silence and audio. Silence from a visual perspective, I should say. It's the brand of audio. I mean, there's going to be less visual activity if people want to consume your content, read it or look at it. If someone chooses to download and listen to you and hear what you have to say from your mouth, are you going to say that? I mean, you're just going to run out of ideas to be fun. It's very difficult to be funny, and it's very obvious when you try too hard to be funny. It means you really don't know who you are, and you've lost your way as a brand. Or you've never found your way. It's like those contrived, you know, there was one for golfers group texting. It was you know, embellished and created. It wasn't real, but it was like Rory texting Hideki, texting Tiger, and what they'd say to each other. And it's obviously staged, because they would never say this stuff to each other. And it's just expensive content that really doesn't resonate. I mean, is it going to make us laugh? No. Does anyone believe it? Does anyone believe that Tiger says those benign things in text groups, or even text with any of those guys in a group? I don't know. I just think the basket of content left over to say and write and produce is just running thin. So give people value. Less is more. Less is more. Corn nuts. 2019. Give me a break. Whatever. Maybe some people find it funny. It's just so stupid. It's so dumb. Let's talk to Ryan Barif from Florida about the Shriners from Vegas. It's a tough tournament, let me just tell you. Not a tough tournament course. There is no wind this week. None. No wind from what we see in the forecast. When there's wind, it plays more challenging. -9 winning score, Cantlay 2017. I remember that, the playoff with Wee Kim and Alex Chayka, long-haired version. And it played tough. -9 on a PGA course as a winning score means it was pretty difficult. Last year, I think it was -21, and I it'll be that or more this year. You've got Koepka in the field, you got Bryson in the field, you got Cantlay in the field, you got Morikawa in the field. May win. It's a pretty stacked group. But try to glean, if you're in Vegas, if you want to handicap this, check out Aria at about, I don't know, 2 a.m. on Wednesday night. See who's still up. See if you can see the players over at Rhino. All right, let's talk to Ryan. Hey, do you like betting online? Well, NFL, college football, and now the MLB playoffs are all heating up with games that you do not want to miss out on. So visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for free and make sure and use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Week 5 biggest NFL matchups. I'm going to go 5-0. Rams at Seattle. Seattle. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. Green Bay at Dallas. Green Bay. Indy at KC. KC. Cleveland at San Francisco. Cleveland, 0-5. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Ryan, this week it's TPC Summerlin in Las Vegas. I said on Twitter earlier that I'm going to eliminate all the guys who are going to probably have a lot of fun in Vegas. You could probably make a calculation as to who that might be.
Webb Simpson.
And what's that?
Webb Simpson.
No. The back-to-back years, Bryson, Cantlay, they don't party.
No.
I'm just guessing they don't. Before I get to that, though, who have you given up on backing after backing them for so long?
Well, I know your answer to this. I think if I had to pick one that I've given up on, I mean, we never give up, but I stopped betting Luke Willis when I feel like we were kind of waiting for his win and he hit a complete wall that, like, even this week when he's like 150-1, I'm just like, I'm done with Luke List.
Isn't that funny that in weeks last year or previous years, 150-1 would be an automatic?
We were betting him at like 35-1.
Better than that. Yeah. In the Florida swing, he was playing well.
Yeah. But I know your answer.
What is it?
Tony Finau.
Here's why. I think that Tony is one of the nicest guys on any tour. If you've done any bio and background of Tony Finau, and I watched one, I forget what channel it was on, but you know, he did what's the golf fantasy show that he was on?
Big Break.
I was thinking Deadliest Catch.
Basically no. The same, right?
Right. But you know, he came from humble beginnings. I know he played a par three municipal course growing up, mm-hmm. and he was on the Big Break. And he won or finished second. But there's a side of me that, and it was talked about, I think, on Golf Week this week, about how Brooks Koepka said himself that he's an athlete through and through, that he is there to compete and destroy. He wants to, I've heard other players say he's pretty quiet, but he wants to step on your throat. And he's just cold blooded. And I don't see that with Tony. I don't see that same killer instinct, that win gear you have to have, probably because I don't know if he still thinks he belongs on tour. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it, but it's almost like a reality star who, you know, who gets his own movie or TV show because of it. It's almost like you didn't come up the right way. But I just think that he's super nice. It's like Fleetwood a little bit, right? It's just that you don't have that extra killer gear to win.
Yeah.
I mean, how many more times do we have to get proven of that? I mean, he's insanely talented.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like when you give a girl the "it's not you, it's me" speech.
Yeah.
Tony, you're great. You're great. You're a nice guy. Yeah. I mean, I think the kind of the issue with Tony is, I mean, as he's elevated his game and his world ranking, you know, he's playing different events now. And like, as I watch all of these fall swing events, and I guess even this one, I think these are the type of events that like would suit his game. You know, you've seen Cam Champ win 2 years in a row in the fall swing. That's something Tony Finau never did. Now, I think if Tony Finau was playing the Safeway and the Sanderson and stuff, he would win. So I don't think that's the problem. But also, what is the one thing that Finau's terrible at that you need to win? It's putting inside of 10 feet. Until he figures that out, he's not going to make enough birdies when he needs it, and he's not going to save the pars when he needs it. So
it does zap your confidence. You play from the hole out.
Confidence, momentum, everything, yeah.
It's everything. And you even talk to players about that. If you're not making putts, it works backwards, and you're the rest of your game, you lose confidence in. I think that's a large part of it. Again, I think that Tony Finau is one of the most talented ball strikers anywhere, and with his homemade swing. And I think that he's actually proven to be one of the better mutters on tour. Mm-hmm. In fact, if I were to say, and he's top 10s in every major, it seems. He's a guaranteed top 10 in every major. He may win a British Open first.
Yeah, and I think we saw that last week. The all-mutter team did really well. You know, you get the Finau, Fleetwood, McIntyre, like that group, Lagergren. It was a pretty predictable outcome there, with the exception of missing a Victor Perez win.
That's more painful for you than me, but it's pretty painful because Perez is one of our brands.
I think again, it's just mostly painful due to how many of these in a row we've now missed. Just seems week in and week out. Just all the guys that kind of we've been on. And it's not like he was a favorite. You know, he was probably about 150-1 last week. So, that stings a little bit.
This week is the Vegas Shriners, and it's a relatively easy course. The one primary, maybe the one only defense, is wind. We saw that in 2017 with Cantlay, Sabs, and Wee Kim at a playoff. It was a -9 finish, which for the PGA Tour with that strength of field is extremely low or high, however you want to say.
Yeah, I think it was. And I think it was Alex Chayka, not Rory Sabs.
You're right. It was Chayka because he's a local.
Yeah,
and he had long hair.
Yes, he did.
Remember that? Like extremely long.
Yeah, it was weird.
But this week, the weather is forecasted to be perfect. From my notes, TPC Summerlin in Vegas, short, easy, approach is really everything. Wind makes it difficult. 18th hole is really tough. Mike's notes, Smart Golf Bets. At smartgolfbets.com. Suburban private club, 15 minutes drive west from Las Vegas. Bobby Weed design, assisted by Fuzzy Zeller. Shortest, easy, mostly dull desert track. By the way, I like to see how I haven't read these notes yet. I like to see how mine line up with this. 7,200 yards, par 71, average elevation. Wide, gently undulating Bermuda fairways, friendly Bermuda rough, perfectly manicured bank grass greens. The course is only testing if the wind gets up, which is rare. Key stats, birdie average, strokes gained putting, average winning score -21. Happily, the final four holes are interesting. He always has one line in there that zings the course. What stats, Ryan, are you putting in your model? Trademark this week.
I think as always, I'm going to be weighing iron play, and probably scrambling a little bit this week, but still the iron play. I'll be more hesitant on guys who we haven't seen this fall. And again, this is the time of year just to ride the form. You know, especially with these Korn Ferry guys, they're coming off the finals, the Greenbrier, the Sanderson. They played all these events, and like they're gearing up. So. I think for the most part, I'm going to be on the same guys. I think the two that are going to be tricky this week are going to be Finau, who's coming from Europe, from the Dunhill Links, at a high price. And then of course, Brooks, you know, Brooks is the hard decision this week on a course where he's played well, probably should have a win here, if not for, Rod Pampling, right? I think that's who beat him here.
I remember the Rod
Pampling made like a 50 footer on the last hole or something, right? Like some long putt.
Yes.
But I think that's the tough decision. And, when in doubt, I play Brooks. So
he beat Glover too. And Glover, I believe, flared one out to the right in a par three. One of the few last holes.
Yeah.
But I think, like every week. I mean, if you look at historical winners here, it's largely tee to green. And by the way, last week for the notes for the Safeway and Silverado, putting on POA, when those POA greens grow late in the day, it's like Plinko.
Yeah.
And they were speedy and it was hot. And you can drive it really long and get yourself in a much better position. You can really break off some angles but you really have to hit the fairway there. It's a pretty decently tough course. And those greens, if you haven't played them a lot, they're tough.
Yeah, for sure. And like you come to this week too, and you know scores are going to be 20 to 25 under par. And if you're going to be making 30 plus birdies this week, like it needs to be irons and putting. Like that's just what it is.
Yeah. That's it. That's all you can do. And you have to, I mean, you know, scramble to save par, but you know the guys that are going to do well.
Yeah.
And I think that if we look at last week's approach in this field, Hadwin played incredibly well. Colin Morikawa, again, Chez. M is not in this field. Adam Scott. Did M take the week off?
He took a week off. I assume he's getting married or something, because that would be the only thing that would stop him from playing.
I think he's wasted. Yeah. I mean, I just think he is dead.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I think there's a clear mold on this course, right? Like even just scrolling really quickly through like the winners here, you know, Webb, Moore, Nah, Bird. Then you see Furyk won here three times. Like that's all you have to know.
Iron player. Yeah. T to Green last week, champ, Hadwin, Zhang. That's a name to keep an eye on. I think he led the Korn Ferry Tour in ball striking or tee to green.
Yeah, Mayo already put him out there. So
okay, Chez Reavie, Colin Morikawa. Putting, interesting. Streelman, number one. Blair, Watney, CH3, Hubbard. That's another one, Hubbard. Streelman, it was so an anti-Streelman week. I guess he's been working with a short game coach, and so for the first time in his career, he led the field in putting. Ball striking in the toilet. My model this week includes the things you discussed. I am going largely birdies are better approach. Can you hit irons? Can you finish off birdies? Tee to green, some putting, scrambling, greens and reg. My model, trademark, spit out these names. These are proprietary to this podcast. Cantlay, 1. Scheffler, 2. Percy, 3. Brooks, 4. Scott, 5. Matsuyama, 6. Morikawa, 7. Lonto, 8. Gary, 9. Chez. That's just the model. There's not necessarily my picks. What do you think about the model?
Yeah, I think it's pretty solid. Like, I would still argue that I'll put Brooks first over anyone anywhere.
But does he care about these tournaments? He's admittedly said he doesn't.
I think the same thing, like kind of like what you saw with Justin Thomas. You know, Brooks doesn't play a whole heck of a lot of them, but he does pretty well. You know, he won the CIMB last year, and even JT last week, who didn't have his best up, he was still in the mix for most of the four rounds. So, plus Brooks has the history here, so he would still be my number one. I think at the top, I guess I'll go backwards with guys who I have a lot of concerns about. I have concerns over Hideki after the miscut last week.
Correct.
I have concerns over Adam Scott, where he had the one hot round on Thursday, and then he couldn't find a fairway pretty much all week. I think I would have Brooks 1, Cantlay 2, Morikawa 3, if I had to pick 3 from up there.
Okay. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Anything you see value wise, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 value players in terms of projected points by me and my model and their price.
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, I honestly think Morikawa is a huge value. I think he's only 9,500. I mean, even 25-1 betting, like he can get hot. His irons are always good. So I think that's still a kind of a guy that I'll go to. The one that stands out on DraftKings, at least, is probably Aaron Wise at 7,500. He scores, he hits his driver really well, makes a lot of birdies, and at that price, of course, where he's played well, I think that one stands out a lot. One of our favorites from the European Tour, Tom Lewis, is coming back here. Mm. He's low sevens. He's 100-1. He was also number one strokes gained approach last week at the Alfred Dunhill Link. So do with that what you will. But if you get a guy who was number one approach the week before at 100-1, I please take my money. And then there's one other one that I don't think will be very popular, but I have a feeling that Zach Johnson is going to pop up this week.
What?
His stats for his last three events have been really good. Most recently was he was at the Sanderson Farms. He gained 4.2 strokes approach. He gained off the tee. He gained around the green, and he gained putting. So he was close to the top 10 there. And it just feels like a course where Zach Johnson can play well. I mean, you saw Furyk, Webb Simpson, Ryan Moore, Kevin Na, like he's the same mold. So he's a guy who's going to be very low owned. He's 125-1. So it's not like it's a huge investment for you, but I got a good feeling about Zach Johnson this week.
All right. Some value for me. This is based on model projection and their price. Percy playing extremely well. Still 7,000. Lonto pops in my model. 7.2. Shelton is the Lashley of 2019-2020. Remember how many times Lashley popped first in the model?
Yeah.
And he almost had to disregard it because most of us had never heard of him, and then he wins. Shelton has got to be still circled for everyone. Ryan sure. Palmer, 7.3. 6.4 for this Hubbard character who was fifth last week in putting. And then 6.5. You don't like Ryder as much as me, but Doc Redman, 6,500. I don't care how good he's playing or badly he had last week or recently. I love Doc Redman for that price.
Yeah.
He can score a lot.
Oh, yeah. He's way down there. And I think if we're going down there, my pivot, which we talked about earlier, one of our European favorites, Kurt Kitayama. He got invited into this field solely, I believe, because he went to UNLV. They like to bring those guys home. He had gone through a bit of a bad stretch recently, but his last two events, he's been dynamite tee to green, making a ton of birdies, played well again last week at the Dunhill Links. And look, anyone who can win twice in their rookie season on the European Tour, like, that's a player.
Yeah.
So now he's coming back here to a course he probably knows, you know, I think he'll be very comfortable here.
Yeah, a lot of people may not be aware of who Kurt Kitayama is. He's American. He plays on the European Tour. But what we've seen of him, and I forget which tournament he did win, but he's a force. I mean, he is fun to watch. He's extremely gritty. And again, like you said, if you can win two times in your rookie season, you have that killer switch that we were talking about earlier. And I think Kitayama's got it. He can run up birdies. For sure.
Yeah. So he won that one in Mauritius, and then a couple months later, he won the Oman Open.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. So he got a couple wins already. So, I mean, anyone who can do that, he's coming home, probably has a lot of friends, family, whoever here. So, and, you know, he's dirt cheap. So why not?
All right, my picks. I like Hadwin. I think form carries over. And a guy who can make a ton of birdies, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, all-around game, short course, desert classic type. I like Adam Hadwin. Scheffler, still.
Yeah.
Morikawa, yes. I'm going to hang on Dylan Fratelli only because I know that he is a really good ball striker. He was just really unfamiliar with the greens last week. His putting was just not what it could be. I'm going to say from the big dogs that Bryson, and I rarely say this, I think that Bryson would probably be my highest priced. And the darker horse, Zhang.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty good. Morikawa for sure. I will have, I guess Wise would be the deep one. There, one other name that I mentioned, just purely price, Rory Sabatini. He's in the mid sevens. Remember, he's been like 9K, 9,300 on DraftKings recently, and he finished the playoffs playing really, really well. Went to Europe, played okay a couple weeks, but has horrible course history here. But I feel like he's, I don't know, about $1,000 too cheap in this field. So there's another DraftKings play. But yeah, Morikawa, Wise would be my two outright bets to win.
Dirt McGirt is back here. William McGirt.
We didn't even mention Graham Dillette.
He is playing this week?
He has not withdrawn yet. You know, he withdrew from, I guess, the Greenbrier he was signed up for and the Corn Ferry Finals. But rumor has it he's playing.
What did he finish eighth in last week?
I don't think he finished eighth.
That's on Mike's sheets. Let me look it up. Graham Dillette. Nothing. Mike Sheets need to be updated. His last tournament, he withdrew. CJ Cup.
Yeah, it was probably like his club championship.
I wish nothing but the best for Dillette. He's fun to watch when his irons are firing. No comment.
Yeah, but you don't agree. Well, no, it's just been so long. Like, these guys off of major injuries, like, they're off and out for 6, 7, 8, 9 months. It's been two years. It's been two years since he picked up a club here. So, yeah, definitely rooting for him.
Who wins first, Dillette or Chapel?
I think
it's same player.
I think it has to be Kevin Chapel. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go to Europe. Open to España. New course. Club de Campo Villa. The black course, Madrid, Spain. 4 kilometers, Mike, even switches to what metric? North from the city center. CENTRE, he put. 1956, Javier Arana design, par 71, 7,100 yards. Tightish, tree-lined, undulating parkland, strategic rather than long. Tee shots are required. Rough trees need to be avoided. Bunker protection, smallish, fast, contoured greens. Key metric, strokes gained off the tee and greens in reg, a tactical thinker's track. Now, Rahm is 3-1. I think you could probably get Rahm 2 shots back at 3-1 on Sunday. That's one of the lowest starting prices I've seen, even with Sergio and RCB in the field. Dangerous,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do with that. I think part of it is the books kind of protecting themselves from this exact same situation last year where Rahm came over and I think he was like 8-1 or 7-1 and he just completely wrecked the field. But yeah, I'm surprised considering Sergio just won in his last start. But yeah, this is definitely a pretty weak field because next week they have one of their Rolex events, the Italian Open, where like you'll see Rory and Rose and all those guys. So.
I mean, the obvious is Rahm. Can Sergio win back-to-back? I don't know. But to me, the class of this field are those three guys, Rahm, Garcia, and RCB. I'm going to say probably just because the price is better and because he has been playing really well. And, you know, if it's a strategic course, he's probably, you know, he's one of the best iron players in the field and surprisingly good scrambler. RCB, and would you think that maybe Audrey would win his first at the Open d'Espagne?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on him. And he's been much more inconsistent these last few weeks. But yeah, I do think there are some options.
I know exactly who you're saying.
And because Rahm is 3-1, I think you get a couple guys a little bit juicier than they would be. RCB being one of them. He's still a little short for me, but right below him, Hao Tong.
Great iron player.
Yeah. And actually, the two guys below him, Hao Tong and Andrea Pavon, both excellent iron players, both make a ton of birdies and eagles for that point. And both of them,
I always guess your picks.
And both of them were great last week at the Dunhill Links tee to green. They were number 3 and number 4 in this field in strokes gained tee to green last week. So if you are looking for a little bit of value and don't want to pay up for Rahm, I think starting with Lee, Pavon, and kind of that range is probably the way to go.
I know the name you want to say. He's 125-1. Well, there's probably two. Gagley, Otaegi,
Adrian has completely fallen off the map. I will root for him. I don't know. He hasn't made a cut in forever. I will root for him, but I can't bet him. There were a couple guys statistically that I really liked this week, but again, the prices weren't quite right. Ashin Wu and Xander Lombard. They're both 80 to 1 or so. So again, not really what I'm looking for, but stats were good. Wait 1 second. I just got a text from Skyler, Golf Gurus. John Oda Monday qualified again for the Shriners.
There you go.
2 weeks in a row is pretty good for him. But yeah, you know, I think this week is going to be exactly what you said. If you want wrong, you wait. And there's not much that I like outrights now.
I'm going to say your pick that's way down the list.
Let's do it.
Last week was Callum Hill. We both got that right. I know exactly who you're going to say.
I'd be surprised if you get this one.
Is he Spanish?
No.
I thought it was Samuel Duval.
No. So one thing that I also do for the Spanish Open is you look at the neighbors, the Portuguese. There are two Portuguese players who I actually like this week. Ricardo Gouveia at 200 to 1. And Pedro Figueiredo. Yeah.
Figueiredo.
He's 300 plus, but Jesus and Gurus are on him. Ben Coley wrote him up, so he's going to be popular. But he is.
Let me predict something for all of you, Gurus, Coley. Neither of those guys are winning.
Exactly. They're good top 20 bets. That's really about it.
Yep. Is that it? We covered this field?
There's not much here. Well,
this is a tough week.
It's a pretty weak field.
It's a tough week because the Shriners has a pretty deep field of, I mean, when you get these birdie fests, much like you saw at Alfred Dunhill, anyone can win. But if I'm going to pick two, RCB would be not my number one in Euro. And obviously I'm price biased because, you know, you just don't want to pay for Rom. But Rom didn't have a good week last week on easy course. Maybe a little gassed.
True.
But I like Bryson, Morikawa, Hadwin, RCB. Some good doubles.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think either way, I'm going to include Brooks. Brooks and Morikawa for sure at the Shriners. And I am probably just doing Rom, so kind of mix and match those three. Can we talk really quickly about Rory?
Yes.
Playing with his dad and the Dunhill Links and how it was very clear that he was pressing and trying way too hard and his dad was carrying the team and then he birdied the last six holes.
Rory did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He birdied the last six holes.
He really wanted to, did they win the Pro-Am?
I think they finished third or second.
He wanted to win that so badly for his dad. Rory has become A-plus, number one go-to interview for me. Very thoughtful answers, very candid, appears like he's enjoying the game a lot. And I like that he complains about the course. I mean, you know, he said, I'm getting sick of coming back here and they're too easy. So fair enough.
Yeah, and it seems like he's much more comfortable nowadays in his own skin. I think he had a lot of stuff that he was being pulled in many directions and he kind of just went his own way and was like, look,
do my own thing.
I want to play on the PGA Tour. I want to live in Florida. I'm going to marry an American girl and I'll come to Europe when I can. And they're just like, all right.
And cool. I'm going to win the Players.
Yeah, he's due for a major this year. Better get one.
All right, man. Did you give me your picks?
Rom, Brooks, how's that? And anyone but the Bengals.
That will be... What's that, 10 to 1 parlay?
It's actually 35.
No! So
not bad.
Wow. Wow. Everyone get on that. All right, man. Thanks. All right, in close, by the way, sometimes it sounds like I'm saying goodbye to no one when I end with Ryan. Oftentimes because his internet, Time Warner Cable, in the state that he lives in, Florida, is so terrible that it cuts off the last 5 seconds. So I have to improvise. Like I'm saying goodbye to him, but he already gone. So if it sounds insane, it is. I almost uploaded this episode and I forgot to talk about something I really wanted to talk about this week. And this has to go back and it connects to the voice and the audio of your brand in the future, and how important the words that you say and that they hear is going to be in reflecting your image and your label and your identity and your purpose and your mission to your intended audience. Every week, the sponsor of each tournament, name it, Barbasol, Charles Schwab, AT&T, last week, Safeway, gets a segment on air in live coverage, what is it, Sunday typically, where they get to talk about their organization and their charitable efforts. It's a good spot. Sometimes the CEO is out there, sometimes they send representatives. But what a lot of guys realize is that speaking live on air is not easy, speaking on microphone is not easy, and even though you know everything about what you're wanting to say, it doesn't come out of your mouth like you want it to. It's hard. It's hard. And so I think that what I want to do every podcast here forward, if I remember, is rate the CEO time on each broadcast. It's good branding for them. They get an evaluation. It is what it is. Categories being attire, clarity, content, hairstyle, sweat factor, fumbled over words. Did I understand anything they were talking about? This week, Safeway representative, maybe CEO, someone, 6.5. I gave him a 6.5. He was pretty good, but definitely nervous, and the golf shirt was lacking. The best last year, and by the way, at the end of the year, we should give an award for the brand with the best representative on air. I think it was AT&T. I think. Maybe it was Charles Schwab. I don't know, but one guy absolutely nailed it. He belonged as a color commentator during the broadcast. I could hear all of him all day. So it's not always going to be bad, but there's some duds. Have some fun this week. I didn't mean to sound grumpy in the opening. I just get on wavelengths and I create this character that's mad. I'm not really mad. Things are great. Life's good. Health is good. Kids are good. I'm good. We're good. We got golf. We got the fall swing. We're good. It's good. And if you're in Vegas, be careful. And I've been there about 32 million times. My career is over. I've retired. But should you need any help, maybe getting into something, maybe I could pull some strings. Just let me know. But look for the golfers that are still out 2 a.m. on Wednesday night. Other than that, this week, what do you think? Morikawa? Yes. Bryson? Yes. Hadwin? Possibly. It's anything goes. It's a birdie fest. Who can make the most birdies? Put that in your model TM and see what comes out, TM. European Tour, RCB. Let's go him. Sergio already won. Rom looks tired. It's Rafa's time to finish fifth. Other than that, see you at one. See you. Yeah, I'll see you at number 115 when you're here with me. You see, I got on that wavelength about visual media, and I didn't say the right words. I fumbled over words. I give myself a 3 out of 10 for that segment. 2 out of 10, I just coughed. Choking to death. Have a good week.